Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin Herbert creeping up toward the line, leaning in. Now backs up, leaning back on his left foot, gets the shotgun snap. Looks to the left, pumps and throws left side. Too tall, it's intercepted. Picked off down the sideline. Eric Murray, he's going to take it for a Houston pick six.
Kevin Kugler on the call as that was one of four interceptions thrown by Justin Herbert in their wild card loss to the Houston Texans Saturday afternoon, 32-12. The Chargers fall,
and it wasn't that close.
No, it wasn't. That was two things can be true: a far, far below par performance by Justin Herbert.
Oh yeah.
And also a Texans defense that played out of their mind.
Yes.
I mean, there were guys all over the field for that Houston Texans defense. They got to Justin Herbert. They touched him up. The pocket continually was being collapsed and he was getting pushed out. But that is nothing new for Justin Herbert. And what we ended up seeing was, I mean, one of his first interception was... Oh boy, a guy who threw only three interceptions all season long with over 500 attempts on the year, throws four in that one game. In that throw where he's rolling out to his right, stops and then just says, YOLO, tries to go all the way over to the opposite sideline. Mm-hmm. Incredible play by the defensive back to intercept that ball, but it's one of those cardinal sins of quarterback, and we talked about this with Drew Aller, right?
Yes.
On a far lesser degree of difficulty in a far lesser quarterback, that's what lost the game to Notre Dame, right? Is he's getting pushed to his left. He had to go off platform and throw it. Herbert has one of the strongest arms in the NFL,
yes,
and he makes that throw actually quite often, but there were two guys sitting over there, and that's the time you just say, we're going to turf it, we're going to live to play another down, and that was kind of the story of the game.
Look, I mean, your all-pro voting came out, you know, last week. Patrick Surtain II was your number one corner. Derek Stingley Jr. was your number two.
Seems pretty good.
He is that dude.
Yeah.
That defense has one of the best pass rushers in the NFL in Will Anderson Jr. They have one of the best pass rushing duos in the NFL when you include Danielle Hunter. They have arguably the best corner in the NFL right there alongside Patrick Surtain. Aziz is, you know, he's had his run-ins with the law, as it were, within the NFL with a late and nasty and dirty hit on Trevor Lawrence, but that does not mean he's not a good player. He is a very, very impactful linebacker. Like, you look up and down that defense, there are game breakers and game makers up and down. It's not like, oh, they're a cute little team. No, this is a team that is built on its defense. Yes, well, they have C.J. Stroud, but that defense is loaded.
And I think that there's a few things that it wasn't just on Justin Herbert because of the fact that they were dominant up front. And I think that's going to be kind of the common thread that you'll pull from all of these games is the team that was dominant in the trenches is the one that absolutely ran away with their games. And this was one where if the Chargers can't run the football, they're doomed. This is a Greg Roman offense where it is predicated run the ball to open up the pass. And even when you have a guy like Justin Herbert, who is exceptional and is a really good quarterback, you cannot afford to run the ball 2.8 yards per carry and expect to win in the NFL, let alone win a playoff game in the NFL. And that's where it started. And then you go into some of the other things. Will Disley with two drops, one of them leading to an interception, right? And like we can say, yes, it bounced off of Will Disley's hands right into the arms of a defender. The other three were on Justin Herbert, though. And that is true. He's going to own it. Everybody that watched that game is going to have to own it. It was one of those games where he said, you know what? They got dominated up front, and that's where the whole thing fell apart, from ability to run the football to pass protection for Herbert to Herbert and that internal clock that every quarterback has. Everything is a little bit faster. You're getting rid of that ball, and there were some decisions where he trusted his arm, and it let him down because he overthrew Ladd McConkey on one of the picks. He forced it all the way across the field, rolling to your right, throwing back to your left. I mean, there was some bad ones that were in there for Herbert, but when you look at the Houston Texans, they also ran the ball at 5 yards a clip. And
nice to have Joe Mixon back.
On that third possession of the game, huge. Third possession of the game, right? Chargers go down and they march right down the field, and you're like, okay, here we go. We have the Chargers are game. Houston bends their back and they say, no. Field goal. They get a fumble. When the Chargers didn't score a touchdown after the fumble on the opening drive for the Houston Texans and they had to settle for three again, I said, this isn't going to bode well for LA. And it didn't,
no,
because they couldn't get sevens. You can't trade, you know, threes for sevens in postseason football and expect to be okay. And when C.J. Stroud woke up in the last, 6 minutes of the first half, that game flipped on its head, and Joe Mixon, C.J. Stroud took over and dominated that game.
And this wasn't a game where the Texans were flawless.
Nope.
They had their own issues. They overcame their fumbles and, you know, not taking care of the ball, stupid penalties. You just kind of look at it like, you do that against the Chiefs, you're going to find yourself in trouble. But against the Chargers, they're not a team that can make you pay. If you're the Chargers, you failed to execute on basically every single level. The one thing I think you came out of this game with is realizing is Ladd McConkey is that guy.
McConkey! Yeah, but you're going to need someone else.
You're going to, like, I'm really interested to see what the Chargers do in the draft. Do they go another wide receiver, or do they go offensive line? Because you can make a very clear and concise argument for either one being the most pressing issue.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're wrong.
I think they'll probably go Tyler Warren. Right, they're going to be right in that range where you can get, hey, do we get the extension of the offensive line and a good receiver too?
Yeah.
Probably we'll go tight end.
Do you want to take a guard? Because your tackles right now are great. It's your interior offensive line.
It is one of the worst in the entire NFL.
So do you hope and pray that maybe, you know, you either do that or you trade back and you get a little bit of capital and you maybe go like Tate Rutledge in the second round and take the best guard off the board, you know, that kind of a deal. But I think it's going to be interesting to kind of see what that looks like as far as the Chargers are concerned. But this Houston team, they're beating the allegations.
Yeah. Well, the big one there is Nico Collins, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah. Turns out when they have their weapons, and again, they're still missing Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that, you know, they've got weapons on both sides of the ball. They're a threatening and dangerous team. And it's fun to watch some new blood figure something out. And we all know that the process you kind of have to go through as a young team in the NFL to make those gains before you inevitably make the deep run. And now I don't think they're going to make a deep run. I mean, they're going up against the Chiefs next week. It's going to
be
a tough.
Good night, Charlie, there.
But do they have the weapons on both sides of the ball to be disruptive enough to where if they did knock off the Chiefs, would it be the biggest surprise in NFL history? No.
Well, Nico Collins coming back and having the game that he had, if you look at his last four games of the regular season, he combined 19 catches for 174 yards in four games.
Uh-huh.
He went 7 for 122.
He was that guy.
He was that guy. And Joe Mixon, the balance and the ability to run the football leading to opening up things downfield for him, that is huge for C.J. Stroud to have that run game back. Mixon was great. C.J. Stroud played within himself, and he, look, 22 of 33 for 282, a tutty and a pick. You're going to take that because I thought that sometimes taking sacks, it's a dirty thing because it can be a drive killer. But we've also seen C.J. Stroud instead of taking the sack or turfing the football, putting the ball into harm's way. Mm-hmm. He took a couple. He was sacked three times for 21 yards. That's going to happen a few times. One of them was a big sack.
Yeah.
Kind of skewed that number a little bit. He played really well. And I think that they are trying to calm a lot of the issues. Up front, I still have the big question marks. Yes. Can their offensive line
hold up
through an entire game? Because you're not going to be able to afford yourself as slow of a start as they had against LA when you have to go to Kansas City next week.
Yeah, they're going to have a different mindset, a different mentality. They know how they're going to attack. They know what they're going to want to do. Where the Chargers, you know, this is their first time. You know, it's not their first time back. It's Herbert's second playoff game, but this is the first time under Harbaugh. They don't have the necessary weapons. They don't have an established pattern. They don't have their identity is to be physical and do things that, you know, you associate with Jim Harbaugh, but they don't have the requisite tools and or experience to kind of exploit those things.
Yeah, they didn't give up what the 30 some unanswered. They only gave up 23 unanswered this playoff game. That's progress.
There you go. Baby
you know,
steps.
From Brandon Staley. Remember when they had a 27 point lead and they blew that against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I mean, you look at the team stats in general. Like, you go 3 of 11 on third down, even with the Texans going 5 of 14. The Texans are, what, 10 more minutes time of possession? And that's really not that much considering 4 interceptions. Like, it's just.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much they still have to clean up. There's so many things they have to work on. It's a fun little season for the Chargers. You're clearly better off than you were under Staley with Harbaugh. It's about, significantly better. It's about where you go from here. Like, I saw some Chargers fans kind of lamenting, you know, what the game was, and I'm like, you had a talent deficit.
Like, yeah.
Very clearly.
And this is, for Chargers fans to be upset about this season was a year where you made the playoffs.
You were not supposed to make the playoffs.
That should be kind of the, hey, we're punching up now. Mm-hmm. We are not the team that is more talented in losing games. We are a team that is still flawed. You still need another receiver outside of Ladd McConkey, even though that was a good acquisition through the draft. You need to figure out your interior offensive line. Now you need to figure out what's going to happen on your aging defense. And I know Khalil Mack said he wasn't ready to talk about retirement yet and see what the next steps are in his career. But if we're being honest, you've got a lot of money invested moving forward. You've got to figure out your cap situation. And you got to continue to knock it out of the park with the draft. And I think that's one thing that you can say every single team that made the playoffs this year, they have done a really good job of talent evaluation through the draft and kind of building from the ground up. That is exactly what the Houston Texans did 2 years ago. And we saw them be that team that was just happy to be there last year. They won a playoff game. They win another playoff game this year. Now you got to go on the road to a team in Kansas City where, look, they're 15-2, but let's make no mistake, they still have their flaws too. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody's going to expect the Chiefs to lose that game. But at the same time, if the Houston Texans bring what they brought on Saturday, coming up this weekend in Kansas City, they're going to put themselves in a decent position.